some of those old classics just never wear out. Awesome music. Let us pray, O God our Father. Take these feeble words of mine and make them yours. Fill the gaps of my inadequacy. Forgive my pride and error, and grant that whatever is said in honesty and truth may be used for the upholding of your people and to the glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to see you. 2 weeks ago, our grandson John skied for the Special Olympics at the Swain Ski Resort south of Rochester near Dansville. It was a gorgeous day for skiing. Sunny, bright, cloudless blue sky, temperature in the low 30s. Great day for skiing. And John skied very well. It is thought by his coach that he set a record for the day on one of his slalom runs, completing the run in 27 seconds. And he skis, by the way, with no poles. God bless him. It was a good day for him, coming home with gold and silver medal. It is such times as what was experienced at Swain that Sunday morning that brings back memories of earlier times. Times of trial, mishaps, rising up to continue his goal, which was at that time to remain standing on his skis. John has striven to climb many mountains in his young life, and he's taught us much about perseverance and striving for the upward goal. And to a lesser or greater degree, John's story is our story, yours as well as mine. We, you and I, are able to look back into our own lives, to times of trial, to times of great challenges, which call upon us to persevere, to strive for whatever goal was set. In reading today's account taken from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, two lines caught my attention. Verses 18 and 19 read, "For many walk, of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, those who set their minds on earthly things." In the previous verse, verse 17, Paul directed followers of Christ to be imitators of him. Not that he is perfect, but that he strives to become less imperfect. And I want to pause here just for a second. I did see the funeral of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia yesterday. And the chief celebrant and homilist was his son, Father Paul Scalia. And Father Paul, in his homily, mentioned that, you know, Justice Scalia is a faithful follower of Christ. And he, too, used the term to become less imperfect. And I just thought that needs to be mentioned, that scripture that is alive and is still among so many of us. And it was just struck me that to hear Father Paul mention that, and that about his dad. Great man, will be missed on the bench. Paul requests Philippians to observe the behavior of others, to compare their walk in life with his. As he observes the behaviors of so many around him, Paul is saddened deeply by what he sees. He's deeply moved to tears. He describes the behaviors he observes as being enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end, whose eternal destiny is destruction, is eternal death. Paul observes a mentality of pride and materialism, whose God is their appetite. Now, to the word appetite, many definitions can be applied, all of which are related to the sin of pride. In the original Greek for appetite, we would read that their God is their belly. Their God is their innermost parts of their being. Which reminds me of a verse from Matthew the rector used this past week. And you see, I did pay attention, okay? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is one's treasure in today's culture? Is it in Christ? Or is treasure only to be found in the world? It is a given that materialism, the desire for more, is rampant in today's culture. Just think back to the Black Fridays of the past and the intense and often cruel materialistic behaviors observed. So many always want more and more. When I was in my late teens and early 20s, to earn money for college, I worked for a then nationally well-known department store. And the one thing I came away with from that experience is that money, and only money, ruled. Our daughter Karen also worked for a well-known department store as head of a relatively large department. And she was good at her job. She not only met but exceeded the quota set for her department. Her reward? 10% more next year, girl. Money. Only money rules. I believe that Paul is sharing with us this morning that such attitudes, such idolization of money or idolization of materialistic things, become enemies of the cross of Christ Jesus. To hold on to such attitudes and behaviors result in banishment from the kingdom of God. Oh, and by the way, the stores that employed both Karen and me, gone. Because of a certain personality involved in this year's run for the office of President of the United States, I wondered how much wealth is in these United States. And I was amazed to learn that as of 2013, there are 9,630,000 millionaires in this country alone. Of those, 536 are billionaires. I wonder if they tithe. Sadly, for all too many, such individuals are the epitome of success. Worldly success. It is such individuals that we see pictured on the front pages of many magazines as persons of the year. The culture idolizes them in various ways. And Paul writes in his letter to the Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, that set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. In this materialistically oriented society of ours, to do as Paul states is difficult indeed. Today, and I believe more than ever, materialism has never been stronger. For many, it seems to be one's life's goal to get more, always more. I came across an interesting statement I'm led to share with you this morning. A worshiper can never rise above that which is being worshipped. Now, this statement is very true and bears repeating. A worshiper can never rise above that which is worshipped. A person can never rise above what he idolizes or worships. If one is able to rise above that which is worshipped and idolized, such as wealth, cars, Hollywood, sports heroes, whatever, then that person becomes greater. If I can rise above what I'm worshipping, then I'm greater than what I idolize. To say it another way, we cannot and do not worship or idolize that which is equal to us or below us. What we worship needs always to be above us. If that which we idolize is of the earth, then it follows that we can never rise above earthly things. And if we cannot rise above earthly things, how then can we be in Christ Jesus? We can't. We sink deeper into sin. What Paul writes then is so true. We are to set our minds on things that are above, where true joys are to be found. And how are we to do this? We are to strive and stand firm in the faith. Ever try to stand firm and strive for anything? It takes much work, much effort. It takes determination and conviction to overcome the challenges the goal presents. And this was an area that was another sore spot for Paul, and for that matter, a problem for any priest or bishop of the Christian church. Apparently, there are many in Paul's time who joined the church in body only, for their heart remained unchanged. All these people believed, all right, but only in the theoretical, the philosophical aspects of the faith. When it came time to stand firm for the faith, time to show one's true colors, the cross of Christ was denied and turned away from. The words Jesus spoke, as recorded in Luke's gospel, now ring out oh so clearly. Jesus stated that we are to strive to enter by the narrow door, for many will seek to enter the kingdom and will not be able to. And one of the key words Jesus uses is strive. We are to strive, to struggle, to make the sacrifice, to go through the struggle of entering the narrow way into Christ's kingdom. And the reward is well worth the effort. The Jews of Christ's day thought that because they were God's chosen people and had privileges other nations did not, that they would automatically be accepted before God. Christ had news for them that this would not be so. Thus their anger against him. This same thinking, this same mindset is present today. There are those who believe that regular attendance in church is an automatic ticket into Christ's kingdom. Not so, says Jesus. No one can be a follower of Jesus without expending effort. We cannot drift our way into the kingdom. There is a decision to make, to choose one or the other. Joshua faced the same decision. He chose life. And so too are we. To be granted eternal life, there are sins to repent of. There are habits and other behaviors to be renounced, pride to be humbled. For many, the righteous choice is most difficult. You see, there is but one right way. Conversely, there are an infinite number of wrong ways. It is easy to become part of an apparent winning worldly cause. The reason is simple. The worldly cause needs no spiritual preparation. The Pharisees sacrificed bodily comfort by standing in prayer for long hours on busy street corners so as to build up a reputation for piety, all for the sake of pride. A follower of Jesus, on the other hand, is to forego pride, to pray in secret, and to work humbly for the kingdom, all for the glory of Christ's sake. And there are not many who will pay the price of surrendering pride and develop a discipline of prayer. You know, it's strange to me that people are willing to pay high prices for totally artificial joys which only leads to destruction, all the while refusing the discipline of prayer, of fasting, and almsgiving, all of which bring true joys and true life. Jesus and Paul weep. For those who find this true joy are relatively few in number. It is a given that life on this planet is not easy. It's very difficult. And striving to enter through the narrow door of Christ's kingdom is not an easy task either. Do we think it was easy for Jesus? All we need to do is recall the many nights he spent in prayer alone. Last Sunday we heard read from the gospel how Jesus wrestled with and overcame the devil's many temptations. And how many times have we heard read about his many debates and arguments with the Pharisees? And of course, the ultimate in striving to enter the narrow door, Christ dying on the cross for you and for me. If Jesus' strength was taxed to its utmost, why would life be any easier for us? Are we any better than our Savior? Of course not. We are all aware of the age-old proverb, no pain, no gain. And this proverb is applicable to our walk with Christ. To overcome the challenges this world presents in our walk to achieve eternal life requires concentrated effort, even to emotional and physical pain. Let's face it, sin is easy. It's natural. Righteousness, on the other hand, is difficult because it goes against our human nature. And what really bothers us is that there is no middle-of-the-road choice. We cannot have a little bit of Christian this or a little bit of Christian that. That would make life nice and things much easier, wouldn't it? We can pick and choose what we want. However, when it comes to following Christ, there are no gray areas. We either choose to strive to be in Christ or choose to be without him. We either travel a road to eternal life or a road to hell and eternal death. And traveling on either, the narrow way leading to Christ or the wide, broad way of destruction is a matter of choice and determination. Our destiny depends not upon fate or chance. Our destiny depends upon the choice, our perseverance, our effort. Jesus said that we must strive. We must put forth determination and energy to enter into his kingdom. I found a poem which, in a lighthearted way, illustrates quite well Christ's message to us. The poem is titled Two Frogs in Cream by T.C. Hamlet. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep, and the cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, croaked number one, 'tis fate, no help is around. Goodbye, my friends, goodbye, sad world, and weeping still, he drowned. But number two of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. All the while he swiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. I'll swim a while at least, he said, or so I've heard it said. It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead. For an hour or two he kicked and swam. Not once did he stop to mutter, but kicked and kicked and swam and kicked and hopped out of the butter. I kid you not, at 8 o'clock, one of our parishioners came up to me and said, you know, he says, my mother always told me, get moving, make butter. The moral. We can either take the easy way out, which leads to our eternal destruction, or as Christ said, strive and persevere. Be determined to seek righteousness with him. And your reward will be an invitation from Jesus to enter through the narrow door into life eternal with him. Now to God, his forever Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.